continue from where we stopped last Sunday. Remember, our topic for last Sunday is, that's the way this thing sounds. I hope it's okay. Life in the Spirit, the better way to live in God's plans and purposes for your life. That's part two. Life in the Spirit, the better way to live in God's plans and purposes for your life. Part two. And we said that there are three of the very major things that God gave us to help us live our lives here successfully. Number one is the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Number two, His Word. And then number three, Holy Spirit empowerment. The Holy Spirit indwelling us, His Word, and Holy Spirit empowerment. We talked basically on the first and the second one. We're going to be dwelling mainly on the third one today, which is the Holy Spirit empowerment. Amen? Holy Spirit empowerment. That's what we are dealing with today. How many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? If you have, please lift up your hands very well. Let me see. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen? Now, the rest of you, you're going to be filled today. Amen? And again, if you have been filled, you're going to be energized to know how to keep it on going and the benefits therein. Amen? So, we are opening Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Can we take it together? Ready? Go. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Say, you shall receive power. And this power is ability, efficiency, and might. But this power comes upon you when you have received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowerment. You can imagine a news that is too good to be true. That Jesus paid the price for all our sins, past, present, and future. And so many other benefits that is as a result of that. And yet Jesus said to his disciples, they should tarry until when they have been endued with power. I think the best thing would have been for them to go zoom out right away. But he knew that they cannot do it without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the same thing goes for you and I. We receive this empowerment and we are better able to flourish as his children, to be effective witnesses even in our homes, the places where we walk and where we go, and in all our life's endeavors. We become effective witnesses. Our lives begin to glow the more for his glory. The Holy Spirit empowerment is different from Holy Spirit indwelling you. For when it's indwelling you, it means that you're born again. But when it's empowerment, it comes upon you. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1:22, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That is Holy Spirit indwelling you. By placing the Holy Spirit where? In our hearts, as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. And he said in Ephesians chapter 1:13-14 that the moment when you hear this good news, the gospel of your salvation, and you believe and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, and he is the guarantee that all that the Father has provided for you in Christ Jesus is your portion. He is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that's why the Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9 that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him, because he's the one that guarantees that inheritance belongs to you. And he's the one that will help you here on earth. So he comes to indwell you the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might still look the same physically, but something happens spiritually within you. That is Holy Spirit indwelling you. And this Holy Spirit empowerment, which is Holy Spirit coming upon you, is yours just by asking, but you must have to be born again. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible said there, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts, gifts that are to their advantage, to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask? Which means they really desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means by ask and continue to ask. They really desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it said here, you being evil, you know what to give to your own children, what you know that is to their own advantage. What will put them in a favorable or superior position. You know to give them that. So how much more? That the Father knows that this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit empowerment will put you in an advantage position, in a more superior position. In a more superior position, which means that if you have not been filled, you are losing out. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit puts you in a more superior position. And if you've been filled and you pocket it and you're not making use of it, you are just living without. Because Holy Spirit baptism puts you in a more favorable, superior position. And of course, you know that our Father cannot break his promises. He's not a man that he should lie. He said, my covenant will I not break. If he says that he puts you to a better advantage, you better go for it. Amen? And he is very faithful. Our Father is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended upon. When he says that he has given us this, he has given it to us, but it is ours by asking, and even after you have been filled, it is yours for making use of. You don't have to pocket the Holy Spirit baptism in your pocket without making use of him. Amen? So Holy Spirit baptism is a powerhouse for the believer. And it first came on Jesus Christ. If we will look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the Bible said there, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest where? Upon him, not in him, upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, and so on and so forth. He said, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. Down to verse 9, he said, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen? You know, like Pastor Zion was sharing with us the second Sunday of the following month, he said that a Christian home is supposed to be the most peaceful home. And that's exactly what is being described here. But first of all, the Spirit upon. See, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, upon Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you pray a lot in the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, remember, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God, and Christ is in you. That wisdom begins to manifest more and more on the outside. You begin to understand better and better the Word of God as you fellowship with the Word of God. More and more revelation, more of that wisdom inside begins to flow on the outside for the benefit of both you and those around you. You begin to understand better the Word of God. Then you begin, there's counsel and might, there's spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Lord, you begin to understand more and more the love that the Father has for you, and that love manifests better on the outside. So without the Holy Spirit baptism, these things will be so minimized that you will barely be living as a Christian. Amen? And you see, if you begin to read down there, you can see that it's just a peaceful thing when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you constantly pray in the Holy Spirit. There's that peace. You can see the verse 6 says that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and down it goes up. That's the picture we are going to have when we finally go to meet, be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to reign here. It's going to be peace galore. And that's where he wants us to have a taste of it from here while we are living. Amen? That's why the Bible said, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And we sing it, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the
And he said, that's what will happen in my holy mountain. So in your home, the Christian home, it should be righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. If everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit and is baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit and love, and you receive revelation of the love of God and live by the love of God, it's going to be peace, peace, galore. Amen? Isaiah 28 verse 11. Look at what the Lord said about it. That is, he called it there. Isaiah called it in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 11. He said, the stammering lips and other tongues. And then the Lord, you know, speaking about it in verse 12, said that this is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness to the weary. And this is the true refreshing. This is the true rest. That's Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. He said, the Lord speaking about this. The Lord said this and had said this concerning baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness. Because when you're praying in the Spirit and you're receiving a lot of the revelation of the Word of God and you're living by that revelation and you're relating with people by that revelation, you're being favored left, right, and center. You know, there's no confusion. When there's confusion and you begin to pray in the Spirit of God gives you revelation and understanding of what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to get about it, and you adjust. You see? And when you get overwhelmed, you don't know what to do again. You begin to pray in the Spirit, and wisdom comes with regards to how to handle things, what decision to take, what direction to follow. That's it. So he said, this is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness to the weary. And this is the true refreshing. Amen? So if God said this about it, I'm all out for it. I'm all out for it. Amen? And you should be all out for it. So Jesus himself acknowledged this spirit that rests upon him in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That was when he came. Remember Isaiah prophesied that in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. And now Jesus came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen? And because we have the privilege of having this Spirit come upon us, Jesus himself said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, 18, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So if you are a believer, you've got to be speaking in tongues. You are doing a lot. You are doing without a lot. You are losing out a lot, because this will put you to an advantage, a superior position. Because your father dearly loves you and has put out these things to help arm you well while you live here until you receive your glorified body. Amen? Say, these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs say they will speak in new tongues. As you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're receiving a lot of revelation, you're better able to believe the word of God, and when you lay hands on the sick, your hand becomes an instrument of righteousness for his glory, and the sick recovers. It's a guarantee. Because remember, God is not a man that he should lie. His word is here and amen. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. Even if you drink any deadly thing, the Bible says, it shall by no means hurt you. Amen? And Jesus also said, because of the privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus, he said that, I tell you the truth, in John 14, 12, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Remember, the Bible said the Spirit was upon him. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So if you're a believer, you should be able to preach the gospel to the poor, to you should be able to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen? These are our portion as children of God. Look at John's testimony concerning Jesus. He said in John chapter 1, 32 and 34, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. The Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. The Bible says it's like a dove from what John is describing here. And he also commented here that Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's the Son of God. He's God himself. So he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and he has qualified you and I. If you have received your BA, your spiritual BA degree, you're qualified to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all it takes. The moment you're born again, it's all yours. And I thank God for my beloved husband. He was just sharing with me last Sunday that the moment somebody gets born again, the next thing should be for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That empowers you, that gives you the ability to be able to stay stronger as a believer. So that if you're in this church and you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, today it is your portion. Don't step out of that door without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if you read Acts chapter 2, 38 and then 39, the Bible said there, that was after, you know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and then Peter preached to, and where 3,000 got born again. And then what did they say? They say, when they asked Peter, what must we do that we might be saved? He said, repent, that's verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Some people take this to mean that the moment you get water baptism, then you are now born again. That is, he said, you get baptized, that's get immersed in Christ. Get born again, immersed in Christ. And then you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But first of all, you have to repent, means, you know, change your mind and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So those that he will still call in future, those that will give their lives to Christ, this promise is for them. Amen? So it is ours the moment we have been born again. If you have said yes to Jesus, this precious, precious, beautiful gift is your portion. And the Bible said that, you know, if you look at the, you know, in the Old Testament, remember we said, you know, Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Bible said that this fire falls, it fell on each of the temples in the Old Testament, the one by Moses. If you look at Leviticus, the Bible said the fire of God fell and the glory of God filled the house. That was Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 said, you know, verse 22 says, you know, then Aaron lifted his hand towards the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the bond offering and peace offering. Jesus Christ is already our sin offering. So that one, we already settled. That's why I said if you have received your spiritual BA, you're qualified for the Holy Spirit baptism. Then 23 says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the bond offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. So the fire of God came on the first temple, and then on the second temple, which is the one that was built by Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 1 to 3. The Bible says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Say verse 2, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Verse 3, when all the people of Israel he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So that, those are the first two temples. And then but if you look at Leviticus chapter 10, 1 and 2, we see how a strange fire fell. In verse 1, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, it said, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. 2, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Amen? See, this is just a typology of what it is in the New Testament era. The Christian life is not just difficult, it's impossible unless it is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit the moment you're born again. The Christian life, Christianity, is to practice it. It's not just difficult, but it's impossible unless it is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God instructed them what to do. That fire that is lit supernaturally by God, the priests are supposed to just keep on keeping it on. They are not supposed to put another fire to it. It has to be spiritual, supernaturally done. And it's only done by God. Remember when Elijah prayed, put the altar and then pray? Remember, the fire of God came and consumed the sacrifice. It had to be supernaturally done. And what he's simply telling us is that you can't just live this life by your own natural ability. So when they put the natural, their own physical, thing to it, it costs death. Amen? Life in the flesh will crush you. That is, it's just living a dead life, living among the dead, and you experience what the dead people experience. And you don't want to do that as a child of God. The Bible said the flesh profits nothing. The Bible said, "For by strength no man shall prevail," in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. And as Psalm 33, 16 says, "No king is saved by the great size and power of his army. A mighty man is not delivered by his much strength." And Zechariah 4, 6, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So that's why Paul advised us that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You have to live this life by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, "Therefore to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. You can't live this life carnally. You can't please God. That is, what if it feels good, do it. Mind, will, and emotion. Whatever your flesh says to do, whatever everybody is doing, okay, this is what it's doing, this is what they are doing. What did the Lord say? You have to hear God. You have to live this life propelled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he told us in verse 8 of Romans chapter 8, he said, "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." It's dead, 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 dead to live in the flesh. And that's why when they try something natural to make the fire naturally, they die. It's just typifying to us what happens when you're living in the flesh. We're not living a life that is propelled by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? And verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Amen? So praying more in the Holy Spirit gives you greater revelation of the love of the Father, and you live more for Him in the Spirit. You live more for Him accidentally. Amen? So the fire fell once on each temple and has to be from God supernaturally. The priests are supposed to keep it burning and not to use or add any natural fire, which was what the sons of Aaron did, and that caused death to them. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, let's read it together. "That is why I will remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gifts of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination." He called it the inner fire. it falls upon you, but you know, it swells out and then you begin to pray. So it's an inner fire. But it rests upon you first and then it keeps on burning. But it has to be done by God. Amen? Supernaturally. And he says, if you're talking about the embers, I was looking out for the meaning of amber. It says, a small piece of burning wood or glowing coal in a dying fire. Which means you don't let it die. How would you not let it die? As you keep praying in the spirit and you keep receiving revelation, you're better able to live for God, and you pray in the spirit a lot, you keep living for God because you're receiving better and better revelation of how deeply you're loved by him, and you're falling in love over with him again and again and again and again, and you're living more and more for his glory. Amen? So, we have to rekindle our own embers today if yours is dying already, by praying in the Holy Spirit a lot. Amen? So Jesus, like we said, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew 3, he added what is missing. He said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and with what? With fire. Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And did he do that? Boy, he sure did. If you look at Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, remember when he said for them to tarry, Jesus told them to tarry until they are endued with power. If you look at verse 3 of it, he said, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And verse 4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is the Spirit that gives you utterance. So the fire fell on them like a cloven tongue, and this fire fell once, the house, the body of Christ. And then we now have to keep on praying, rekindling the flame, as we are told through what Paul told Timothy. So they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the third time this fire fell to the temple of God. And we are the temple of God today. Amen? And your own tongue is going to be unique because the Holy Spirit will give you your own utterance. He will give you the one that is unique or peculiar to you. Amen? So, and there has to be evidence. Like, if you remember, the one about Moses and Aaron, the one about Solomon's temple, you find out that the glory of God came, the fire of God fell, and people saw it. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it will be seen by people. Like the one we read now concerning the apostles of old, that the people saw them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So there has to be those two physical evidence that people can see. One is that you're praying in other tongues or in other languages. And then secondly is that there is this unusual boldness. Like it happened to Peter. Peter that was timid, that was shy and denied his master, now stood boldly and was declaring to them that they were the ones who killed Jesus. And 3,000 got saved. So you have those physical evidences, praying in other tongues and an unusual boldness. Amen? And because he fell once and that fire was seen, you are not going to see another fire again like it happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 2. The fire has fallen, and our job is, as you receive it, you just keep on rekindling that flame or the amber. By keeping on, praying in the Holy Spirit. Every now and then, you pray in the Spirit. As you get opportunity, you keep on praying in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Spirit sometimes when I'm showering, as I hop into my vehicle to drive to work, I'm praying in the Spirit. When I'm doing my job, because I have my cubicle, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit and I'm doing what I'm doing. I pray in the Spirit a lot. And I learned it from my husband. I didn't even know all these things. But you know, I always see him. Each time you're passing, you see him. So, and I will just pass by. I won't be able to say anything to him because he's praying. And he's just praying in the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is the rest to the weary, especially when you don't even know what to do. And it's not just when you don't know anything to what to do. When you don't know how to pray, particularly about certain issues, switch to praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take your tongue and pray the right kind of prayer. Amen? So remember I said, we are now the temple, so God fell on us. That's in Acts chapter 7, verse 48, the Bible said that, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet said. Yes, with that of Moses and Aaron. Yes, with that of Solomon's temple. But now we are the temple of the Lord. So he no longer lives in a house built made with hands. He now indwells us. We are now his resident address. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually? The Spirit of God dwells well permanently. So it's even wrong for us to begin to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Because how can you be welcoming somebody in his own house? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Where has he been? He went to Jerusalem, and now you want him to come from Jerusalem to you. He's indwelling you. He is, you are his resident address. Amen? He said that, you know, the only thing we can pray is that we pray that we will make him feel at home in us by the lifestyle that we live. We make him feel comfortable in his house because we are his house. Amen? And he said, you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. He said, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. Verse 20 now said, so then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. We make him feel at home in his body, in his house. So, let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 talks about Jesus. He said, Hebrews 3, verse 6. Can we read that together? Ready, go. But Christ the Messiah was faithful over his own father's house as a son and master of it. And it is we who are now members of his body, if we hold fast and firm to the end our joy and exultant confidence and sense of triumph in our hope in Christ. Amen? So you see, Christ the Messiah, he was faithful in his own father's house and master of it. We should be master of this house. We should take charge of this house. We should make use of everything that the Father has made available to us to take charge of our lives, live for his glory, and be an instrument of righteousness for his glory. We should take charge of it like Jesus Christ did. And he did tremendous things while he was here on earth. He showed us an example. And he wants us to take charge of our lives too. But he said, if we hold fast and firm to the end our joy and exultant confidence, we enjoy triumphantly all the things that Jesus Christ packaged for us. And you begin to get a deeper and deeper understanding of these things when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the first place the Holy Spirit touched when he fell is the tongue. Amen? I wonder why he fell on the tongue. Because, remember, the tongue is the instrument of creation. Remember how God said, let there be, and there was. And the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the Bible, David himself said, I will say of the Lord. And that's why he told us in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, he said that our faith becomes effective as we begin to acknowledge the good things that he did for us in Christ Jesus. So the tongue is the instrument of creation. And the Bible said that life and death are in the power of the tongue in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, 21. And it said, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. And it said, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. It said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue is given to you to cause to death the things that need to die, and to call to life the things that need to live. So the devil, I believe, knew that that this is the instrument of creation. So he watches for us there, for us to say something. And the Bible says, "You're snared by the words of your mouth." Proverbs chapter 13, 2 and 3 says, "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." And James chapter 3, 6 and 8 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Can you imagine that? And yet that is the instrument of creation with which we bless people, with which we pronounce, we say. The Bible says you shall have whatever you say. And as a man thinks in heart, so is it. And out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you're snared by the words that you speak. And you'll be satisfied by what comes out of it. And you can imagine what kind of havoc it has caused between two bosom friends, between husband and wife, between parents and children, and co-workers. So when the spirit came, it fell first on the mouth, on the tongue. And that's why you should pray in the spirit a lot, because the Bible said here in verse 8 of James chapter 3, but no man can tame the tongue, but thank God that God can. Amen? It is only God by the power of his spirit that can tame the tongue. And that was why he latched onto that first. And that's why the Bible told us in James chapter 1 verse 19, that let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, but slow to speak, so that you'll be able to take time to process what you have to say before it comes out through this mouth gate. And if you are confused, you don't know how to answer, begin to pray in the spirit and begin to listen in until the spirit of God gives you an answer or tells you how to get about it before you open up this mouth gate, so that you don't say the thing that will ensnare you. Amen? And he said, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. And the devil watches us, especially when you're angry. But he said, be angry, but sin not. So when you're angry, it's better you don't say anything. You can rather begin to pray in the spirit until you receive from the spirit what to say. And he said, let the peace of God be the umpire. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, when you now have peace about it, then you can now say, so that you don't say the things that will hold you captive. Amen? And that's why the Bible said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech always, not sometimes, let your speech always, even when they are stepping on your toes, let your speech how? Always, 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 always. Amen? What did I say? Always. And that's what the word said. Always. Amen? Because you don't want to hurt yourself, because as you make your bed, so must you lie on it. You want to say something that will bring beautiful fruit and not things that will kill you. Amen? And that's why the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it said, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And that way, because remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you know, like a sponge, and you fill the sponge with water. When they squeeze you, what comes out is what? It's water. So when the message of Christ in all its richness fills your heart, when they squeeze you and you're trying to get angry, the water of life will come out, which means you respond in the light of the word of God, so that you don't have to say things that will hold you captive. Amen? No wonder Paul encouraged us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. Let's read it together. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. If you don't know how to handle anyone, just begin to pray in the Spirit for them. But pray in the Spirit how many times? Do we do it at all times? But that will change from today in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That is Paul. Can you count how many books that Paul wrote? It was revelation upon revelation galore. Most of the things we are hearing about Jesus Christ and the finished work is done by Paul. Because that man prayed in the Spirit a lot. And he said, I thank my God I pray in the Spirit more than you all. That's talking about the Corinthians. And when you're praying in the Spirit, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, like I've been saying, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, The Bible said then, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently. Let's read it together. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. So you can imagine, this is what the Holy Spirit does. So as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're receiving a lot of revelation, how to relate with your wife, how to relate with your husband, how to deal with your children, how to deal with your boss, how to manage your life, how to handle certain issues that come your way. As you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you receive so much revelation. You don't want to be a yo-yo Christian, because Holy Spirit baptism is a powerhouse for a child of God, for a believer, and it's available to you. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at that, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 18. He said, Ephesians 5, 15, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? As wise. And you have the wisdom of God in you because you have Jesus in you. He said, don't walk. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He said, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Don't spend your time doing useless things that will not benefit you. Rather, spend that time praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise. What are you supposed to do? But understand what the will of the Lord is. How will you understand what the will of the Lord is? As you pray in the Holy Spirit, then, Lord, you understand what the will of the Lord is for you. You understand, you know, how to handle so many things, the choice of life partner, the choice of life career, the choice of whatever it is, you are better able to make sound decisions. He said, do not be unwise. He said, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's your portion as a child of God. He said, do not be drunk, not just drink. He said, be drunk. You know how a drunk man acts? When you drink wine, it might not affect you. But when you're drunk with wine, I don't forget my husband's classmate, like he told me, the man got drunk and went, carried his bicycle, put it on his bed, covered the bicycle with his blanket, and went inside his wardrobe and slept over there. And then they found him in the wardrobe in the next morning. And then this one happened right before me. I came out in the morning when I was still living with my mother at Nsukka. And this man that was a colleague of mine where I was working at medical center, UNN, he fell with his motorcycle inside the gutter. So as I came out to sleep, I was gathering over there. So I went over there, curiosity, and then the man was inside the gutter. They were trying to see how they could leave the motorcycle to help him to come out. He said in Igbo, which means, if I should dare get up from here, I will slap the hell out of you all. These were people who came to help him. What was the influence? It was alcohol. So God wants to go wrong with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit directs and guides you in every aspect of your life. Amen? So that it will be zero of self and all of him. Amen? He said, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when you begin to do that, you find out, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, the Lord, you find out that the thing will affect every aspect of your life. It will be success galore. Every aspect of your life, as you begin to choose to yield to him. The Bible says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. All who are allowing themselves, that's amplified, that is Romans 8 verse 14. So as you begin to pray in the Spirit and he begins to direct you, it is now your choice to choose to allow him by submitting to his promptings and his workings, or choose not to. So it is one thing for you to be praying in the Spirit and he's directing you, and another thing for you now to choose to yield to his promptings and to his directives. Amen? When you pray in the Holy Spirit a lot, the Bible said in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it said, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking out the wonderful works of God. And then Acts chapter 10, if you read from 44 to 46, it says, You magnify God as you're praying in the Holy Spirit. You magnify God as you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then he said, you give thanks well as you're praying in the Holy Spirit. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to 17. You give thanks. So you see now, you pray in the Holy Spirit means you're speaking out the wonderful works of God, and you're magnifying God, and you're giving thanks well as you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Is it not better than complaining? The Bible says, complain and remain. Sorry, not Bible, but that's the comment I hear. Complain and remain, and then praise and be raised. And if you look at the spelling of complain, you have A-I-N in this one, and then remain, A-I-N there. So if you're complaining a lot, you will remain in that situation. And then if you look at praise, you have again, A-I-S-E, then this one ended with D. If you're praising, you'll be raised. Praise and be raised, complain and remain. And God himself said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, thank God in everything. In how many things? Whether good or bad, he said, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be, be thankful and give thanks, for this is whose will? The will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. He wants you to thank him in every situation. So when they do it to you and your mouth begins to open, say, Father, I give you praise. And then if you can't begin to say, until you get yourself together. He said in Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. This is what God doesn't want to do, to complain and murmur. Say, do all things. How many things? All things. And then 1 Corinthians 10:10 said, nor discontentedly complain as some of them did, and we are put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, death. Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So I thank the Yorubas, they thank God a lot. That's why I'm tying this, so at least to half Igbo and half Yoruba, so that I'll be thanking God well today too. Amen. The Bible says his angels go to war when you begin to speak out the wonderful works of God. In Psalm 103 verse 20, he said, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. When you begin to praise God and worship God, especially you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, rather than you begin to say something you don't know, and you begin to praise God in the Spirit, you begin to pray in the Spirit, you magnify God, you give thanks well, and then you glorify God. The Bible said that his angels, they hearken to the voice of his commandments. But when you're complaining and murmuring, who will hearken to that? The demon spirits are also around, and they will also hearken that, and they will help you carry it out. And you say, I thought about that. Yes, because you opened the door for them. So it's better for you to praise and be raised. Amen? So you speak mysteries to God when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:2-14, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning, but by the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries, secret truths, hidden things to God. And verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. Amen? So your understanding is unfruitful and people do not understand what you're saying. So you're speaking mysteries to God. So you still speak it in any case because the Father understands. Romans 8:27 says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He said, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but your job is to speak. Amen? And he said, As you can also ask God for interpretation according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. So that's the only way it can benefit, especially when it's the gift of speaking in tongues. So, and whether it is the gift of tongues, the gift of the tongues of men or that of angel, it is important that we still speak. There's, you know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In fact, everything we do has to be by love. But you see here, there's a tongue of men, like the one that the apostles received in that Acts chapter 2 verse 11. He said they had them speaking in their own language. That's the tongues of men. And then the tongues of angels, you don't know what you're saying, and nobody knows unless the Holy Spirit interprets. Amen? But the important thing is that God understands what the mind of the Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, the saints, with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's a beautiful advantage of praying in the Holy Spirit. But in Romans 8, 26, 27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. In harmony with God's own will. I don't forget the problem I had in Nigeria when I didn't even know it was an issue. But we were just newly born again. And I had this young girl, you know, in our house. I didn't even know that the devil planted her there and was using her to cause a lot of havoc to us. I didn't know anything about that. But thank God, we only born again. We were not praying. We were not filled with the Holy Spirit at the time. How somebody visited us, one of our relatives, and then, you know, he asked me, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, no. I said, ah. He said, no, you're supposed to. The moment you get born again, you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he laid hands on me to be filled. I didn't get filled. He did it again. I didn't get filled. He asked me, were you involved in a white garment church? I said, yes. He said, which one? I said, Olumbo, Olumbo, Olumbo. So he said, no, that's not, because I was baptized, you know, by immersion there, but then, you know, I didn't know anything else. But when I got born again, I had to get born again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, no, that he now caused whatever spirit that I might have contracted in that, you know, by my association with them. And then he laid hands on me again, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged me, just keep on, when you start, just say in the name of Jesus, every tongue that is not of God, I command you not to proceed forth from my mouth in Jesus' name. And he said, I might not understand what I'm saying, but I should just keep on praying in the Spirit. And then, lo and behold, he said, I should pray in the Spirit, the Lord. And that night, I prayed and prayed and prayed in the Spirit for a long time before I went to bed. And that night, the same, I didn't even know these things were happening. This lady, around 2 a.m., came inside my room. I just went and used the restroom. And then I came back, you know, because that was the second time. So I used the restroom, I laid down, and something said to me, turn on the light. I said, no, what for? I don't want to, the light will make me, I won't be able to sleep. I said, why don't you turn it? What? In just a split second, turn it. And when I walked to the light and I turned it on, this lady was just lying down on the couch where I usually breastfeed, with her legs apart and facing me. I touched her and said, what are you doing? Go to your room. Why did you leave your room? And you came. I was sleeping with my children because the bed would not take all of us, just the three of us. And then my husband was sleeping in the other room. So she left. She just did like this and she left. So she left the house. 4 days she came back. And then the same night, because I've been praying in the Spirit a lot since then, I went to use the restroom. As I was just cutting the paper towel so that I could now go to use the restroom, our door opened quietly. So, usually, my husband will come in to help me with the children from time to time. He will usually open the door and come in, but this one was opening quietly. So I now say, who is that? And as I looked, she was the one. So she said, she cleaned her face again and walked out. She didn't come back again. I didn't understand. But while that night that I prayed in the Spirit, in the night I had a dream. And then it was the church where we were fellowshipping. And the pastor, I didn't even see the pastor, but I heard his voice. And me and my husband was standing in front of a pregnant woman. God was just showing me the picture of me and one of my children. And then that man said, I don't want to call her name. This person, call the name to us. May God have mercy on you in Jesus' name. And me and my husband, standing over the pregnant woman, said, amen. We didn't know that all the issues I had with the pregnancy, that the devil had been using her. The way it started, she just walked in one day I was eating. I came back from school. I was eating. She just took one, you know, lap of chicken and dropped inside my tooth. That was something somebody related to us. I just ate and ate the meat. From that day, I began to have problems. But I did not connect it to that until when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that mentioned, it was when that thing happened, and then I was sharing this with my husband. And my husband said, and that's her other name. I said, really? I didn't even know her by that name. Many years back, she came back to our house, and she was apologizing to us for all that she did in our house. If I knew, I would have asked her, what did you actually do? But I just said to her, it's okay, you did it ignorantly. And she said that me and my husband should please pray for her and bless her. What I'm saying is that you're losing out a lot when you're not praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? You're losing out a lot. Praying in the Holy Spirit guarantees an answer. Remember, he said the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered because he prays according to the will of God. But I've been praying for myself for things that were happening to me, but I didn't really know how best to pray about it. But the Holy Spirit came in and intervened. Amen? And then the Bible said that it guarantees an answer, praying in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will pray according to the will of God. And 1 John chapter 5, 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. And where we read in Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God. And the Bible said in that 1 John 5, 14, 15, that when you pray in the Spirit, the answer. And if we know that he hears or whatever we ask, we know that we have received. Not we are going to. We have received. Amen? So, when you are praying in the Spirit, you edify yourself. You edify yourself. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. You edify yourself. And praying in the Holy Spirit is the best way to maintain your life as a child of God and stay in the love of God. The Bible said in Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Rise like an edifice, a building, especially a large imposing wall. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're rising higher and higher and higher in your walk with God and in answers to prayers too. Amen? And they say, keep yourself in the love of God, because the deeper revelation you're receiving about how deeply you're loved, you have that cool air inside. Your mind is at peace. Amen? So Holy Spirit empowerment also helps us, like I said, to understand the Word of God better and better. Because the Word of God is a revealed knowledge. You cannot understand the Word of God by your carnal mind. It has to be interpreted by the Spirit of God. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 said that he gave us his Spirit so that we might understand the things that have been freely given to us. So as you pray in the Spirit, then you understand better and better, and then you become a better instrument in his hands. The Bible said, now, for this light, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, it said, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. It said, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. It said, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Say, it is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. Say, it is shameful. But you find out that some Christians don't just talk about it, but they even watch it like movies in their homes. And you wonder why you have problem with pornography. You wonder why you have problem with anger. When you watch a lot of fighting and all these things, you easily get angry and agitated. And you wonder why you have problem with pornography when you watch people do all manner of stuff and then your body begins to burn. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I will just read one more scripture and we pray that. So the understanding of the Word of God, it buttresses your faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. So as you fellowship with the Holy Spirit and Lord, you receive deeper and deeper revelation. And then you're better able to war a good war. You're better able to hold some negative thoughts captive that might come to harass you and live for God's glory. Let's read this last scripture while in conclusion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, in Message. Galatians 5:25. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of your lives. Let's read it again. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, that is life in the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. Amen? Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.